Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Richie the C.
Hey, Eric.
What's going on, man? So, I met you at Liquid Zoo, which we're parked quite near. Mm-hmm. And I actually had Ron Swallow on my podcast a couple days ago. We recorded with him. Mm. And your name just kept coming up. Because wow. I think you're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
And then I'm like, hey, let's get him on the podcast. Why am I talking to this Ron Swallow asshole?
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. So what exactly is Richie the Sea? What does that stand for?
It's a Happy Days reference.
Okay, Richie Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because there was actually one episode. I was never that big of a Happy Days fan, but I knew it was enough of a cultural marker for some people. And sometimes I was doing other radio stuff. So I thought, well, why don't I just become Richie the Sea? Because people will know that reference.
But honestly, why would I suck anybody, right? Why would I suck anybody when I just bought a $3,000 telescope? I am. I mean, I see you shower. You're getting a broad shaver for Christmas. I mean, some of them are all attitude anyway. Have you noticed that? They're all attitude, always answering the question with a question. You know, you say, how you doing? But it's always, how'd you get my house? Or, why are you following me? Or, this one I can't say.
Facebook stalking you in preparation for this. Russia, Germany?
I didn't live in Russia.
No?
No, I did live in Germany. I did live in Spain. But part of it is this NSA paranoia. And I thought, they don't have to know all these different places that I've been. So, you know, for schools and things, you know, I put up different stuff. But I have lived in Germany.
Uh-huh. And then, and your jokes are all about serial killing. Mm-hmm. So did you leave Germany because you kind of got stuck in some Polizei?
A Polizei? No, it was, first time I left Germany is because my mother needed hip surgery. She was from Germany, but she was here. And so I didn't even have that many stories to fall back on, and I never had any of this game that people speak of. And if it was, it was all accidental. But I thought, so how else do you bring up a topic about talking about women? If you're going to bring up, you know, oh, they may as well just take it over the top and say that you murdered them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's...
So that was your way to talk about women without seeming like some Sly Fox character? You're like, well, if I just make serial killer jokes, then...
Because it's really just self-deprecating. How else am I going to get a woman unless I sneak up on her? You know, how is she going to stay with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
unless I keep her in the box.
Right. Or unless someone holds her down or ties her up, you know. or you have her children or whatever.
What do you do for a living?
What do I do? I'm actually a mutual clerk. I'm a guy. Have you ever been to a horse track?
No.
Well, I'd never been to a horse track until I knew I would get this job.
Uh-huh.
But I'm the guy, one of these guys at the windows, who takes people's bets and then pays them out. I don't set the odds. I'm not...
Right.
It's not my money. Well, people always go, oh, you're a bookie. No, not really.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, I'm just a clerk.
Do you ever get action? Do you ever bet on the horses yourself?
Occasionally, because it's not encouraged. And the bad thing is...
You have to go to a different clerk to do it, right?
No, I can do it myself.
Oh, yeah?
It's just the bad... See, the thing is now... And sometimes it's easy to get hooked. Fortunately, I haven't been really sucked in, but I know a lot of these people, they just get the job anyway because they like to gamble.
Right.
And as long as they have their license, too, they can just go to the track for free. So they work a few days. But they're supposed to be helping other people, but a lot of times they'd rather put in their own bets than help their customers.
Right. Because they're, like, doing really advanced betting, like, well, if this person wins by 3 seconds versus the, you know.
Oh, usually you get, doesn't quite get into that. What it gets more into is, well, you can, you know, you have your win place show first, second, or third bet. You know, and your third place bet, well, if a horse says third place or better, that's show. If a horse says second place or better, that's place.
Right.
But then there are also different combinations. You know, what sequence certain horses are going to come in. That's when it. that's when it gets interesting for some people. But I think a lot of times people just want to bet on these horses.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get their bets in. They sort of like the action.
Yeah.
And in a
I've never been to a horse track. If I did go, I would definitely be betting. Because it's not really fun unless you're screaming your head off for one to win. So you got a kaboom catchphrase. After your jokes, you go kaboom.
Right.
And you have underwear and t-shirts. I mean, it's like a real cultural thing that's taken off here. How long have you been doing comedy, and how long have you been doing that phrase there?
Well, I'll say, because sometimes I would start and stop, and so the kaboom. But I remember I told some joke that just bombed. It just went nowhere. And I just sort of sat, and I sort of deadpan. I just put my elbow out and just went, kaboom. And I ended up busting myself up, and then for some reason it stuck.
Just because it was just like so nothing was happening.
And yeah.
And to add some crazy phrase on top of it, just cracked yourself up.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, yes. And other people laughed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's kind of pretentious to think of comedy or stand-up as art. But when I hear all the different interpretations of what kaboom is, whether they like it, whether they don't like it, whether I'm doing it too much or not doing it enough, whether people are laughing with me or they're laughing at me, whether they think it lets people know that I'm kidding or if it's a cue for them to laugh. What's interesting about it does become, which I think is what art can be, something that's open to so many different interpretations.
And it's just a silly little thing to kind of break up your act, and everyone's kind of, oh, is he going to do it now? And then you almost do it, and then don't, and then do it later. Just this little moniker. And let me say about comedy as an art, it's definitely an art, and it's definitely way the hardest art. You want to talk about a guy who paints a painting and then goes, oh, if you don't like it, you don't get it, you're too stupid. Fuck you, painter. Or some avant-garde, oh, when the audience walked out, that's how I knew I was making good art. It's like, no, make someone, how about you stand up in front of the fucking audience and tell jokes and then deal with the fact that if they don't laugh, that's on you to make better jokes. It's so the hardest art because you're going for one reaction instead of, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a good point. But that's also the challenge of it, too. Because I don't know how many times you've done this, too. You're telling a joke somewhere, one place, it works great. And then for some reason, you tell another place, and people don't.
They hate it.
Yeah, they hate it. And you go, and sometimes you want to, but I don't. Sometimes you want to blame the audience, but
Yeah, but it's how do you get in that magic dance to make everyone like you up there?
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And you can have a doctorate of fucking theater and eat a bag of dicks on stage.
No, I even have a half-sister, you know? That's all my meat locker could hold.
Okay, so we're going to do some news stories now.
Okay.
And some of these you actually tweeted out. I went through your Twitter. I got some news stories. So this is a big court case, landmark court case in Sweden. Public masturbation declared legal. Now, what happened was Sweden's now okay with masturbation because on June 6th, a 65-year-old man took off his shorts at the beach and began masturbating into the ocean. The man was charged with sexual assault but was acquitted after the judge ruled he was not targeting a specific person. He was sort of masturbating into the ocean, you know, giving his seed back to the great churning waters of the world, yes?
So was his... Now, was the water line above or below his waist?
Or above, like he was on the beach.
Right, that I got.
Right.
But it almost makes it sound like he's masturbating into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
feet on the beach, look, you know.
I mean, look at him, but I don't know where he is. He sounds like he could squirt pretty far, doesn't it?
Or maybe he was dealing with the riptide a little bit, the undertow a little bit, but
shooting its seagulls.
I bet it was probably like a nude beach in Sweden. You know, maybe he's getting a little excited, looking around, and then, you know.
Well, that's a good point. But is that, yeah, so you have to, well, he said he took off his shorts, but it could be a...
But then he could have been like, I'm just going to look at the ocean. I'm not, I know it's illegal, definitely, if I stand over a nude woman and masturbate onto her.
Mm-hmm.
So I will look around, take those images in my head, and shoot out the ocean, you know? Well, I just say good for Sweden, because this is going to increase tourism.
Right.
This is going to a lot of commerce is going to come. Well, out
you
know, because
well, then you have a lot of sexual tourism that isn't really predatory. You know,
that's beautiful. Go over to Sweden and openly masturbate on a tree or a chipmunk.
I was gonna go to Thailand, and all I wanted to do was masturbate into the ocean, and then they start bringing me these kids, and I don't know what to do. And you want to support the economy, and you don't know what the next guy's gonna do. If I don't break this kid in or do something, or or do something mild, you know, who knows what the next guy's gonna be? You know, who knows how desperate they are to get more money? So at least now, well, you know what? We're just gonna go to Sweden.
You can change my travel plans. A mysterious clown keeps popping up in the shadowy streets of a British town, inspiring terror and laughter across the world as his photos have gone viral on social media. He's become known as the Northampton Clown, named after the town he's haunting on Twitter. And he's got a Twitter handle called @NorthamptonClown. No one really knows what motivates him, but people have been snapping photos of the decidedly creepy-looking jester with deathly white on his face and red hair. Now, he's not doing anything illegal. He's just kind of holding balloons and waving with really disturbing-looking makeup on. And he's just kind of terrorizing this town. Now, you know, now on the social media, if you walk around in a clown outfit every day, creeping people out, I mean, it's gonna... It's all of a sudden gone viral. What do you think about this, you know?
Well, I think it's great. In contrast...
Mm-hmm.
So let's say a serial killer who just leaves bodies around.
Right.
This person that leaves images of himself, which is even... And it just shows you the power of suggestion. He's not John Wayne Gacy. He's using people's memories of that in all the other predators. So it's actually... And I admit, sometimes I'd use this as an excuse for my jokes, too. I said, yeah, this... Consider this just an education or a cautionary tale. But he's just having... This is great. This is more of a... This is another take on Halloween. You didn't even have to wait.
It's great. He says, I don't terrorize people. I just want to be spotted.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you all very soon in the day, but I'm going to lay low for a bit as I have a big surprise for you all at the end of the week. Beep, beep. He's just writing beep, beep at the end of everything. It's very creepy, very ominous. Let's keep an eye on this character. I'll follow up later and see if he does murder anybody.
Who was the To Catch a Predator guy? Chris Hansen?
Yeah.
Because, you know, later came out. Because after a while, I mean, that's great. If you're really going after predators, that's one thing. But if you start... But if you're luring them, if you're... They were a lot of these people posing as teenage girls were posing as bait for these predators.
Right.
So in a way, you're it's entrapment. It's entrapment. Right. And I'm thinking too, you know, if a 25-year-old pretends to be a 14-year-old, this person who's responding is still responding to a 25-year-old.
Right.
You know, you might think that you've really got the act down, but maybe you don't. Maybe this person's sensing some other kind of maturity or some kind of game in there.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part of To Catch a Predator is how those people who are trained to, like, talk like a 13 and 14-year-old girls, like the language they use, they're like, BRBs, okay, so I'm back now. Like, they, like, say LOL after everything, like, oh, what's a pussy? LOL. Like, you know what I mean? It's just...
Oh, because I saw that it was in Rolling Stone or something like that. But the other person was, whoever was playing the girl, she was really encouraging him. Oh,
you are
lame if you don't do this. It wasn't, you don't know, you don't feel right. Well, that's okay. No, at this point, she's actively encouraging him.
Oh, you're not going to, like, tear my pussy apart with your dick? Boo. It's like, what? You're calling out this guy's manhood during the entrapment.
Right. No fair. You're not my friend anymore. We're not...
HSBC judge approves $1.9 billion drug money laundering accord. Oh, so, yeah. HSBC is a international bank.
It's a Swiss bank, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're being charged in enabling Latin drug cartels to launder billions of dollars approved by the federal judge. I want to say something about this. You see the movie Cocaine Cowboys. That movie really explains how the banks, they're like, oh, you got tons of fucking cash going around? I'll like launder some of that money and I'll clean it up for you. Like all, and there was like three banks per block in Miami, all doing fucking this drug. And the whole, all the skyscrapers were built on, you know, turning that cash into the economy of Miami. Cocaine built Miami, all right? So that's just how it is. And now Latin American drug cartels are doing the same thing. So, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
HSBC was accused of failing to monitor more than $670 billion in wire transfers and more than $9.4 billion in purchases of U.S. currency from HSBC Mexico, allowing for the money laundering, prosecutors said. So, yeah, they're just...
Oh, but it says... Violated U.S. economic sanctions against Iran, Libya, Sudan, Burma, and Cuba. How convenient. But when it's... Oh, you see, but this is... This only becomes interesting right. when they're... When it's not about... Oh, no. Screwing up... Screwing with Americans? Oh, these... The people who... The people getting these huge bonuses, these toxic loans, the thing is the robo-signing mm-hmm. of stuff that people didn't even agree to. Mm-hmm. The stuff that, where they legitimately... Or sometimes where... Bank employees, they mistakenly put something on the wrong account. They foreclose on people who aren't even behind,
yeah.
who aren't even defaulted. There was a guy in the West Valley a couple of years ago. He killed himself because he just couldn't deal this straight ahead. Those people don't get thrown in jail. No pension. But now, look, oh, now it's a political issue.
Yeah, but you're saying only because they're also violating economic sanctions against Iran and Libya?
Yeah, I mean, I think that might have been the tipping point. I mean, it's interesting because, but you know, Syria was doing such great work mm-hmm. for the Bush administration where they were looking for places to torture people. And now Bush comes out and says, oh, I'm not a big fan of Assad. But he was fine with you when you were looking for people to torture. You're not such a big fan. Let's do everything according to who you don't like because mm-hmm. we know how well... Iraq worked out.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you don't like it. So, but you know the way... Or what is it? You don't like the way he tortures, but the way we torture people is so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to spread freedom with drone strikes while we have prisoners who are held without a trial being tortured.
Right. Exactly, yeah, in Guantanamo. Exactly.
Are you a conspiracy buff, you know? Are you looking at the wheels turning around and around and saying to yourself that, you know, there's some kind of evil banking cartel that's got the hold of America these days?
A lot of my good friends are really into it. There are too many variables to think that things run that smoothly. But, you know, I think there are a lot of questions when you talk about motives and things like that. So, you're talking about... you know, there's that movie Loose Change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that all those things necessarily happened that way. But there are enough questions where you have to ask yourself, how is it that the FBI loses track of these people that they knew they were following? Even Colleen Rowley later became, all these people going, no, this is the guy we need to keep following. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
even
yeah.
Bush before that, early in the year, they were, you know, he was at one meeting, he wouldn't stay in a hotel. He had, you know, it was in Rome or something, he wouldn't stay in a hotel, stayed in a boat. But somehow you lose track. You know, so it might not be this plot and do this and do this. But you know, we're just not going to watch them anymore. And then the other thing, because a lot of stuff I listened to, you know, as far as debunking a lot of these things. I remember somebody was supposed to debunk the whole thing about Building 7. And I said, well, what about Building 7? And this guy just, it was, oh, well, there are a bunch of generators in there and they were too heavy, so the thing collapsed. Oh, okay. No. It doesn't yeah. make sense. So whether or not you, I'll just put it this way. There are enough questions so you don't have to necessarily think that you have to connect point A to point B, but there are enough things where you still have to ask questions.
And also, heavy generators in a basement. It's not a fucking boat. It's not like it's like got a capsize like the Titanic. It's fucking welded to the ground. All right, so you want to talk about like two or three random fires in an office building that, like, you know, pretty big fires, but it's not gonna like cleanly take down a building and go foomph into its own footprint. Well,
you know, these so many buildings have been hit by planes before and not collapse. Why was it suddenly these two buildings, and why did they fall straight down? No teetering, nothing. Yeah. 100-something stories. You mean it just didn't? Could have tipped over a little bit this way.
Yeah, and like if you look at what happens in earthquakes, like buildings don't fall through themselves; they fall sideways because that's the path of least resistance. Like a tree doesn't collapse into itself; a tree falls sideways because if you see that the plane like took a hunk out of the top of the towers, for example. Like, wouldn't that have kind of... Everyone has seen metal warp and bend and you know, and so wouldn't it have warped and then fallen off on the side instead of fallen through the building that was undamaged? I don't know. I'm not a fucking architect or an engineer, but there's a lot of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and they all, like, something like 3,000 architects have signed this thing saying that they agree with what we're talking about. Anyway. Right. The Syria thing recently, too, is when I look at the headlines, it's always like, Obama's top advisors claim that he should go into Syria. Like, the top general, the top this, the top that. How about the Joe Schmo nobody, who doesn't have a top before his title, It just has common sense and goes, you know, maybe we shouldn't go in there and start shooting people who are shooting each other.
Well, besides,
how about that?
Yeah. That's another... Well, yeah,
they're trying to convince the public, like, oh, the top guy says we should? Oh, he's tops. He's tops in my book, so we definitely should go in this. Like, that's just kind of a propaganda tool.
Well, a lot of those top guys aren't against it either, because you should... Cause from what I heard, they're giving these interviews on C-SPAN. These guys are wringing their hands. Go, ooh, we're not so sure we should do this.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, oh, the whole thing about chemical weapons, and this is so awful. You notice when Israel goes into Gaza, there's never, people know that they're using white phosphorus. The way we used white phosphorus in Fallujah, not much talk about that. Oh, but Assad uses it. Ooh.
They're using chemical weapons that we have the receipts for them.
Yeah, you know, coming down on protests, that's bad. Unless you're in Bahrain and we need you to host our fleet.
How many fucking protests did cops break up in America all the time? Now you need a protest permit and, you know, you have to pay the cops in order to manage your protest. Like, if you're going to have a protest and it's going to have 10,000 people, they can't spontaneously go together. Like, you have to go to the cops and go, we're thinking of doing a protest. You have to get all this fucking red tape. And that's not what the Constitution was about. Your right to assemble will not be infringed upon. And that's like the language of, or your right to protest will not be infringed upon. But still, it's not going to be infringed upon, but you need to pay the cops a lot of money to work their overtime hours to protect your protest. You need to, well, that sounds like it's starting to get to a place where you're infringing upon it I need to go through all this. And if I have an illegal protest, quote unquote, you're going to come in with horses and tear gas and break it up? Fuck you. Like, you know? And then you're going to say, oh, that Syria is using chemical weapons. And like, what is tear gas? That's not chemical weapons? That's not breaking up a protest?
Might not. Well, I suppose there are different degrees. Remember, there is those campus police at UC Davis who got in a lot of trouble just because they were spraying pepper spray right in the... during the Occupy, right in the protesters' faces.
Yeah. Really see that? There's like this 19-year-old girl who's just like occupying Wall Street, and this fucking New York City cop walks right up to her face and just pepper sprays of...
I think I remember this right at the beginning of it.
A bunch of them. Yeah.
Everything you do has to be so cryptic because people want to subpoena your Twitter file. You're this, you're that.
Right. And you can't even talk about how you're going to kill a kid, how you're going to eat a kid.
Right, that's right.
That being a thought crime.
You know, what about, yeah, there's takes all the romance out of kidnapping someone. Yeah,
well. And also, your Twitter feed with all your murderous jokes is probably...
Well, I mean, I try to be a little more discreet.
What are your hours? Do you only work a couple days a week because it's when the horses are racing?
Well, see, right now I've got other jobs, but that was the one chunk of time where I was actually making some money because I'm certified as an EMT and a phlebotomist and a medical assistant.
What's a phlebotomist?
Someone who draws blood.
Ah.
So now I'm scrambling to get volunteer work just so in addition to these certifications, I can say I've actually been doing what I've been trained to do. So there's this one stretch during the summer where I was working all these days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes it was actually hard to find the time to get up. And then I was in Humboldt County for a little while doing that job.
What's your stand-up goal? You know, what's your is there something that you're trying to reach for? What gets you out every time to do it?
Just writing new jokes, I think eventually just to be able to put something into more of a narrative form and really get people engaged, something that would stay more cogent over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. Maybe being able to work in and out of the serial killer vibe with more facility. So getting maybe more attention. Getting on TV or whatever. But I'm thinking maybe this is just a rationalization. But sometimes these things come when they come. And what you get from that, from the time that you put in, and the time that you actually make yourself enjoy the process, you know, might be more worthwhile than just having gained that goal, mm-hmm. whatever you thought it was,
right.
Immediately.
It's about the journey.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to make it that way.
I got some comedy shows coming up. Flappers Yoo-Hoo Room, October 1st, 9:30.
Oh.
And the Comedy Store, October 26th at 10 p.m. in the Belly Room.
Oh.
If you're around Los Angeles, you gotta seek out Richie the C. He's hilarious. He's gonna drop some... he's gonna always be surprising. And, you know, I gotta say, you also have, like... me and Ron Swallow were talking. You got really well-crafted jokes. They're, like, really, like... technically perfect and always surprising, and so you know, I just can't say enough good things about your act. It's hilarious. So.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so that's another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diary in the bag. Later.